As I had said, I ask for your prayers as I try to stay in a little while. Remember this. Anything else? Well, I've already said and mentioned that I would like to have your prayers. You know, I love this church. This church has really been good to my family and me through the years. And the things that I may say or may read or whatever it might be, that it ain't to no certain individual, but it's to the church. You know, if another preacher came in here and he stood behind this pulpit and he wasn't a member of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, and he started preaching and saying things that's upon my heart, you might say, he's meddling. He's getting into things that maybe he shouldn't even be discussing or talking about. But you know what? I become a member of this church in 1994 when the Lord saved me. And when the Lord saved me right after that, Brother Moran baptized me into Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. And my name was written down on the church roll of this body. The things that I've got to say, and that was in 1994, that was 30 years ago this past June when the Lord saved me. I don't know where time has gone, and then when you think about it, when you say it's 3 decades, that really sounds like a long time. But I know there's members that's been here, this church, has been a part of this church for a lot longer than I have. And I'm thankful that they've held on to this old time way. Yeah. I'm still thankful that whoever stands behind this pulpit, that they still stand and preach the true word of God. I'm thankful of that. And as I said, this is something that's been on my heart. You know, the Lord expects His church, expects many things out of His church. But there are 3 things that come to mind that was up on my heart. And they're synonymous to one another. That is unity, that is harmony, that is fellowship. Those things are synonymous with one another. They pretty much go hand in hand with this body of people. Those that's on the church roll here at Fairview Memorial. So I feel like the years that I've been a member here and that I've been on this church roll, I have a right to say what's up on my heart today.
Amen.
Brother Chandler was talking about technology the other day. I just mentioned about unity, harmony, and fellowship. I pulled out some definitions and put them on my phone here. And these come out of the Noah Webster. 1828 dictionary. And it says unity. Or we can think about the unity of spirit. It is the oneness which subsists between Christ and his saints, by which the same spirit dwells in both. And both have the same disposition and aims, and is the oneness of the Christians among themselves. United under the same head, having the same spirit, dwelling in them, and possessing the same graces, faith, love, and hope. Harmony, an agreement, an accordance in facts, as the harmony of the Gospels. Agreement in views, sentiments, or manners, and interests, and good correspondence. Peace and friendship. Fellowship. Companionship. Society. Consort. Mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms. I've got several scriptures that I want to read from that I feel like that backs this up. I don't have the memory and I don't have the gift that Brother Curtis or Brother Mred has, that how they can just stand up here and quote scripture after scripture that it amazes me. But I don't have the mind and I don't have the gift to be able to do that. So these scriptures that I want to read to you, you might get bored of me standing up here reading them. But if you get bored of the scriptures that I read, your hearts and minds are already in the wrong place. Because you should never get bored with the Word of God. Never should you get bored with the Word of God. I'm thankful for God's Word. This is God's Word. It's truth. Church, it's truth. Amen. Not that I understand it all, but I will say, and you say, how in the world to say this? I might not understand it all, but I believe it all. Because it is the Word of God. Amen. So y'all bear with me here. I want to begin in Acts with the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 23. And 33. I want to welcome my Facebook people that's joining us today too. I didn't get a chance to do that earlier, but we are thankful for the technology that we do have, that people that aren't able to get out and come and worship and serve the Lord as they once do, that, you know, we can cut our computers on or cut our TVs on that and sync them together and have the ability to watch the church service here. But I've told people many a times, and I've heard people say that they feel the same way, that, you know, it's good that we have that technology, and it's good that sometimes that we can sit at home and watch the service and hear the preacher preach or hear the singing of the precious songs that are sung. But it ain't like being in the house of God. And y'all have heard me say that many times. We draw off of the fellowship of one another. When we come together, the closest, we draw from it. And I need it. I get fed from it. I can get fed sitting at home But I tell you what, I get full a lot of times when I come into the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters. I get filled up. And I apologize. I can't keep these tears from flowing, and it makes it hard to see. No, I don't apologize. I'm going to say I apologize, but no, I don't. Because I thank the Lord for what I can feel in my heart. Amen. You that are here and then you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe one of these days that you'd get to that place, you get to that point where you could cry out to the Lord and you would know what I feel and what I'm talking about. Amen. So I'm not apologizing. I take it back. I'm good. I can do that, right? Fourth chapter, 23rd verse. And here Peter and John had been put in prison because of what they were preaching. But they'd been released. 23rd verse, it says, then being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. You get that? One accord. They're in harmony with one another. Said and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may, all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and thy signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them believed were one and one of soul. Neither said of them that they ought of the things which be possessed was his own, but had all things common. With the great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. It says they were in one accord, and when they became in one accord, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, when we come but become one accord and we get to where we need to be with the Lord, the Lord's going to meet with us in a powerful way also. Amen. He's going to meet with us. He's going to be amongst us. We're going to see his Spirit manifested among us. But church, we've got to get our hearts to that place that where we can serve him in a way that would be pleasing to. Acts 2, 1 and 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Once again, they were all in accord. They were in the same place. They were in harmony with one another. They were in unity with one another. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. That can happen here, brothers and sisters. God is able. The scriptures teach us and tell us that he's unchanging. The things that he done 1,000 years ago, the things he done 2 weeks ago, he's still able to do it today. Amen. It's unchanging. He is unchanging. So his spirit, his power can meet among our church, and our church can grow, and it can prosper and become strong and be a light in this community. That we can continue to carry on. And I was thinking about those that were members when I got saved. There are many that have gone on to be with the Lord that have died and passed on and to be with the Lord. I remember them praying for me when I was on the altar seeking the Lord. But they've gone on. But you know what? They may be gone, but Lord, the church is still here, and we're still to continue in it and continue still to preach the gospel and preach the truth and hold on to the truth. Why? That we might be the servants of God, and we might bring the lost in that's out there, that they might be able to come in and hear the word of God preach, and that their hearts might be pricked, that they might be saved. That's our duty, brothers and sisters. But we have to be in unity. We have to be in harmony with one another, and we have to be in fellowship with one another, that we don't let the devil come in and get in our way and stand in our way of doing what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Third one I like to read. It's from Psalms, 133rd chapter. And this one may be very familiar to y'all, you that study the Bible, study God's Word. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Then I want to turn over to John 17 and 11. It says, "And now I am no more in the world." This is Jesus speaking here. This is our Lord and Savior speaking. He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them through thy own name, whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are." Amen. Jesus says, Him, Jesus, God the Son, and God the Father, there is one. And we, as God's people, as Fairview Memorial, Jesus is praying for His own that we will be one, that we will be together as one. Amen. That we will be in that unity and harmony that He's teaching us. And His Word tells us. Then I want to go to Acts. Second chapter. Beginning at verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They were together. They had all things common. In harmony, in unity, wouldn't that be having all things in common? John 1, 3 and 7. Says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have, what? Fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk, church, but if we walk in the life as He is, I'm sorry, if He walks in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See here, 1 Corinthians. As I turn over here to it, I tried to mark some of these pages because I knew there was going to be a lot of reading, so I tried to mark them where it wouldn't be so hard and take time of getting to them. But it seemed like I'm still struggling here a little bit. Well, let's go on to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 1 and 3. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 and 13, I think it is. 4, 11 through 13. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then I want to go to the 10th verse, chapter of Philippians, verse 27. First chapter, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of the Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Then I want to turn over to the second chapter, 1 and 3. Second chapter 1 through 3. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. These scriptures that I have read, does that not back up what I started out saying? That they're synonymous of unity, of harmony, and fellowship?
Yeah.
These wasn't my words. These was God's words.
Amen.
That I read to you. And they're important to God's church. They're important.
Amen.
There are words that are just the opposite that we have. I think they're called antonyms, if I'm saying that right. And they're strife. And what they mean, they're words that describe just the opposite of unity, harmony, and fellowship. We have strife.
Amen.
We have disharmony. We have confusion. All of these things we allow, whether we like it or not, or whether we mean to do it or not, but we allow these things in our church, brothers and sisters. We allow the devil to creep in and get amongst us that we lose that fellowship and that unity and that harmony that we need to have to serve the Lord in a way that is pleasing to Him. You have a lost person that might sit among us, and if we're not in harmony, if we have strife and we have envy and we have confusion and disharmony, that's no good to a lost person. It's no good to the church. We're not going to grow. I don't think we're going to be blessed if we ain't serving the Lord and we ain't in the place where the Lord would have us to be. And how do we get there? We get there by serving the Lord in unity, harmony, and good fellowship. Not bad fellowship, but good fellowship. We know who the one that is a head of unity, peace, and love, and harmony. We know who's in charge of that. Our Lord Jesus Christ is. But you that have read the scriptures and know the scriptures, we know who it says that the author of confusion is. Do we not? How many knows who the author of confusion is? If you don't know, it's Satan himself. It's the devil. He's the author of confusion, and he's the one that can we allow to come in our churches and cause the interruption of us serving the Lord the way we need to serve Him. We don't need to allow to let Satan in our doors. And if he does come in our doors, what do we got to do? We put on the whole armor of God that we can resist the wiles of the devil. We can resist those fiery darts that he shoots at us, that we might be strong, that we might serve the Lord in a way that's pleasing to him. These things was up on my heart because why? Because church, we need to be in harmony. We need to be in unity. We need to have fellowship. We need to show love to one another. We don't need to be fakes. When we say we love you, we need to mean it.
Amen.
When we shake hands with one another and we have fellowship, we need to mean it that we want fellowship with one another. We don't need to be fakes. Oh, the devil's got fakes out there everywhere. He's got his angels that the scriptures teach us and tell us that he's got his angels and they can transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness. Not saying they are ministers of righteousness, but they can try to preach God's word and tell you about God's word. And it's saying, hey, this sounds just like what we preach. This sounds just like what we teach. But at the end of it, they destroy. If you listen to them, they destroy everything that they preached about. And what I mean by that is, I believe we have the truth here, church. When our altar practices and our doctrines and what we teach that we talk about, that we feel like that an individual has got to pray through himself. Amen. He's got to talk to the Lord with his heart. And it's not a lip service of what you say. It's not the promises that you make. But it's when the Lord looks into your heart. When you get your heart to where it needs to be. When you're lost and separated from him. Where you truly come to him with that contrite spirit. And you come to him with that broken heart and that broken spirit. That you come to God with that repentive heart. Come to the Father with that repentive heart. But what? Having faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Not having faith up here. Not having repentance up here. But having it in your heart.
Amen.
That's what the Lord looks at. It ain't about repeating a prayer that some other preacher prays for you. And I've told people I couldn't do that. I don't have the mind to be able to function that way, because if I was repeating a prayer that another preacher was telling me to repeat, my mind would be focused upon that preacher. And I got news for you. That preacher cannot save my soul. And if I repeated that prayer after that preacher, that's telling me that my heart ain't really where it is, because I ain't talking to the Lord with my heart. I'm just doing a lip service. Is all I'm doing. That's all anyone's doing, is doing a lip service. They're not really praying with their heart. And that's where I'm talking about, that I believe that the devil has his ministers out there that can transform themselves as the ministers, or like the minister of Christ. But I got news for you. They are not the ministers of Christ. They are of the devil. That's who they are. That's who they are. It might be hard words, but it's the truth. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart. So what's this message about? Being unity, being in harmony. Some people say that we're fixed to head down a new direction. We're fixed to have a new pastor coming in here. And we may look at it that we're headed down a new direction. Well, church, we are not headed down a new direction. We're going to be on the same direction that we were when this church was established 100 years ago. We're still bringing the gospel in. We're still going to preach the gospel. But what is happening? We're just having another phase. It's just another phase of this church. And we're having a new pastor that's going to come in and take over after the first of the year. We had an election not long ago. Not everybody got what they wanted. We had 6 candidates that came, and I don't like to use the word try out, but we had 6 candidates that came and preached among us that we could get to know them and maybe hear what they had to say and what they preached. And every one of them was all good candidates. Every one of them would make good pastors. They've all been pastors of other churches. I love my brethren. They were all capable of being our next pastor. But you know what? Everybody didn't get what they wanted. But I still, the Lord, I believe with all my heart, the Lord has given us what we need. So church, what's our responsibility? We need to get our hearts right.
Amen.
We need, you know, I've never been a pastor. Brother Curtis has pastored. Of course, Brother Moran, and we've had different pastors here. Brother Miller, Brother Cole, and some of the ones that I've never sat under. You know what? Pastors have it hard. I don't think we give the pastors of the churches enough credit that they deserve. I think a lot of times that we get in our ways, that we let things go on, that we think they're immune to the things of the world. That they're immune to the things that we have to face every day. You know, a pastor is a man just like we are, or women. They have feelings. They have emotions. They're not perfect by no way. Not one pastor that we've ever had is perfect. And they never will be as long as they're here upon earth. But what have we got to do as a church? We've got to be in unity. We've got to be in harmony. And we've got to be in good fellowship with one another, that we get behind the man that is coming January the 1st to be our pastor. Regardless of how you voted, regardless of who you wanted, church, we need to come together. We need to be in unity. We need to be in harmony. You know, I was thinking the other day that as I was trying to study for this and was thinking about it, I thought, who in the world would even want to be a pastor of the things that they have to put up with? Of the things that they have to deal with? A pastor is not going to please everybody. There are going to be times that pastor just ain't going to please everybody. Is there one of you that is sitting out here under the sound of my voice this morning that has the ability to please everybody that you're around? Of course not. Of course not. So a pastor don't have that ability either. He ain't got the ability to please everybody. But church, what we got to do, if we want to see this church prosper, and you want to see God's Spirit, and you want to see Jesus' Spirit manifested among us, unity, harmony, and good fellowship with one another, and pray for the man that is going to fill the position of this pulpit. It's going to be the under-shepherd of this church. And I made mention, why in the world would anybody want to be a pastor? Well, my thoughts on that is because God called them to, and that they're obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. God called them into the work, and they was obedient to do what he called them to do. I want to leave you with this, if I can find it. I forgot where it was. But that's okay. I'll just leave you for what I've already told you. I think we need to have a handshake, a hand of fellowship, shake hands with one another, and if you feel like it and you want to, hug your neck. tell them you love them. Tell them you're praying for them. And that you mean it. Keep Brother Jason Stotler upon your prayers, church. And get behind them. Thank you for listening.